Earth's Human with Kevin Marcy and Sluggo and AI.
Well, hey, lightning might not strike twice.
There he goes.
Right. Yeah, let us start. Can we start?
Yeah, let us, Corny.
It's episode 65 of Three-Fourths Human, and we have for the third time,
yes,
Michael Schneider from Variety.
A new record.
How are you, Michael?
I'm good. I mean, sorta, kinda. Are we? Is anyone good?
That's a fair question, man.
Weird times they are.
I gotta tell you, I've been really depressed since that happened. I've been really like, what a bummer. What are we doing? Do you guys feel the same?
Yeah, angst-ridden in general, you know, and every day it seems like, oh, here's another little bit of bullshit for you. Enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Time to just walk into the sea and never return.
Yes.
Or I've been telling people for a while, like, I'm ready for the aliens. I am ready for the invasion.
You and Sluggo.
Yep, bring it.
But it feels like that's right around the corner, just anyway, right? It's so weird.
Yeah, what do you think of A-37 or whatever the hell that thing that's coming our way? It's supposed to be here this month, or in October, rather. What do you think about that? Brother Mike.
I welcome our new, explosive overlords.
Explosive.
It's at this point.
They're going to blow shit
take
up.
Us, that's gonna be just awesome. Take us out. Just take us out.
Yeah, seriously.
We're done.
Should we start by talking about Jimmy?
Yeah. I like diving right into things.
I think when you originally invited me back, we probably were going to talk about Emmys and some other things. But honestly, that feels like that was a year ago now, given what has happened since Wednesday. And so it kind of feels weird to talk about the Emmys. I mean, there's too much going on with Jimmy and the First Amendment and just everything happening all at once.
Can you explain the timeline of Wednesday and exactly how it came down?
I mean, brief, it all kind of started on Monday night with Jimmy's monologue where, you know, he, to set up a joke about Trump, he had a passing line, Jimmy did, just about the fact that right-wing pundits and politicians are, you know, racing to find any way to blame the political leanings of the person who killed Charlie Kirk as anything but right-wing. You know, they've been trying to label this person as a leftist, as, someone who may be transgender or, supportive gay. Basically, like, they've been trying to label this person and have been looking for any political opportunity to attack the left. That was his basic setup.
That's the crux of it, basically, right? Just that.
Also, that's what's happening. That's the crazy
right.
thing. Like, Jimmy was spot on when he was talking about, as soon as that shooting happened, I saw pundit after person on Instagram, on TV. All of them were saying, oh, this is war now. The left is going crazy and it's war. It's time to fight and blah, blah. And I was thinking, how do they even know anything about the shooter at this point? They don't.
Yeah. No, right. They don't. But it doesn't matter. They're looking to score political points. It's exactly what Jimmy was saying. And then, you know, his lead up to the joke was basically it was a clip of Trump who was being interviewed at the White House. And one of the reporters, said, my condolences on your friend Charlie Kirk's death. How are you feeling now? Trump immediately turned and said, hey, Corny, hold on, Corny. Hold on. We'll get there.
Corny's pissed.
I know, But so then the clip is of Trump basically ignoring the question, like, there's no sensitivity. And then turning to the construction workers who are building this massive, $100 million new ballroom at the White House. That is what Trump cared about. There was no sentimentality whatsoever, just illustrating the fact that this guy doesn't care. He really is just using the death of Charlie Kirk to score some political points and attack his opponents and the left. And that's exactly what they've been doing since then. So to speed up things, there wasn't a lot of reaction other than from a few people on the right until the FCC chairman Brendan Carr went on a right-wing podcast on Tuesday or Wednesday, I forget, and started attacking Kimmel, started attacking ABC Disney, and speaking very much in a mafioso tone, saying, listen, we could do this the easy way or the hard way, basically threatening Disney with its FCC licenses and saying, you know, demanding that a pound of flesh from Disney. And that's where the dominoes started to fall. A couple of station groups, which are more right-wing leaning, including Sinclair and Nextstar, went out and said, well, we're not going to run Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight, and we're putting on an indefinite hiatus. So Disney at that point sort of panicked, didn't know what to do as things were coming to a head. Jimmy records his show about 5 o'clock every day. So they basically put out a terse, simple statement saying, Jimmy Kimmel Live is on indefinite suspension or hiatus.
It's such irony. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's censorship and media management. And you've got, Jimmy didn't say anything radical.
Well, he didn't suggest that, like, people kill homeless people and that, you know.
Right. Well, yeah. And, no. And, Fox. Exactly. And, you know, Charlie Kirk was able to, it's free speech. That's free speech.
Right.
He, I mean, he was opening up debates and fine.
And everybody has a right to speak their opinion.
Absolutely.
That's free speech.
Including the guy on Fox. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so a lot of people have equated it to past situations where talent have said things that Disney has then either fired them or taken them off shows, etc. That's different, though. That was a specific dealing between Disney and its talent. You know, when Roseanne Barr said something, posted something super racist, that was in Disney's right to say, we don't support this, and so we're going to fire you. The difference here is this is the government applying pressure on Disney, saying, we don't like this person because they're criticizing our administration. So we're demanding you either fire him or you're going to suffer some consequences. That is the government. That is specifically protected by the First Amendment. That's why this is different here. And that's why this is already, really causing a chill on concerns over First Amendment, on free speech. This is really about free speech, unlike some of those other instances in the past.
Right.
Is Donald Trump going to be able to silence all of his critics? Because it seems like he's got a pretty good track record so far.
I mean, this is part of the game plan. And honestly, this has been part of Project 2025 from the beginning. And Brendan Carr, who is the FCC chairman, helped write Project 2025. So if you notice a couple of days ago, I mean, this guy, he's like a seventh grader. So when, strangely enough, one of the cast members from Glee posted something to the effect of, guys, this is Project 2025 in a nutshell. Brendan Carr responded to that on Twitter with a GIF of Jack Nicholson basically smiling and nodding his head. Again, this is like something a seventh grader would do, but this is Brendan Carr basically acknowledging that this is the Project 2025 playbook. And weeks ago, the president and other folks have said, Jimmy Kimmel is next on the chopping block. You know, they got their pound of flesh from Stephen Colbert. They got their pound of flesh from CBS when they demanded millions of dollars to silence the 60 Minutes lawsuit. And so they have said for a while Jimmy Kimmel was up next. So you can only imagine that they've been looking for anything that they could grab on and basically twist to their own means and then attack him. And that's exactly the textbook what they did here. And you saw the Fox News anchors who all sort of fell in lockstep to criticize Kimmel all at once, allowing Brendan Carr to do what he did on his podcast and then forcing the issue. Sinclair and Nextstar were more than happy to join in because, of course, they have business dealings at the FCC. They want to curry favor with the FCC. You know, Nextstar has a $6.2 billion deal to acquire the Tegna station group that's in there. And so they definitely want Brendan Carr on their side, and they do now. Brendan Carr went out and congratulated and thanked Nextstar for doing this. So, of course, that deal is going to go immediately through. So this is all happening in real time. We're all seeing it. We're all talking about it, but it's happening nonetheless.
Do you think that it's because of the monopolies of television? Like those two companies, Nextstar and Sinclair, are trying desperately to build and build and build and get a lot more of eyeballs on them. And they needed that deal to go through. And the deal was $6 billion or something. And Jimmy Kimmel, compared to that deal, is nothing. So they were just like, yeah, well, we'll cut them loose. this deal's important.
Well, for those two station groups, Nexstar and Sinclair, they hate Jimmy Kimmel to begin with. These are very right-wing organizations, Sinclair in particular. And if you notice in Sinclair's statement, not only did they demand Jimmy Kimmel be taken off the air, but they demanded an apology from Jimmy. They demanded that Jimmy donate money to Charlie Kirk's organization, right-wing, you know, hate-filled organization. You know, they tripled down, they quadrupled down. But this is a company that has always been very right-wing, very conservative. And so they were also opportunistic and seeing this is, hey, we can get our deals through and we can also maybe get rid of Jimmy Kimmel, win-win for them. And this is the danger, by the way, of these companies bulking up even more. Sinclair and Nexstar are already in a good chunk of the country. They want to be in all of the country. And that deal was probably going to be rubber stamped, and it probably still will be. But at least now people are awake and aware of what these companies are and what they want to do. And hopefully there'll be a little more pushback now for people who say, well, wait a second, do we want these companies in control of so much conversation?
I can't tell you how many petitions I've seen come through my email to bring Jimmy Kimmel back. But I have to applaud him because he's in limbo right now because he's still under contract. They haven't, and I don't think that's up until, what, next year at some point? And so, I mean, soon, but he's trying to just get out of the contract. So it's kind of a moot point, you know, these petitions, but, and good for him.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that this is not the end of Jimmy Kimmel Live. And I don't think anyone, at least at Disney or Jimmy himself, want this to be the end. A, because you don't want to go out like this. You also don't want to give Trump such a huge win. This would be a tremendous win. He's already claiming that Jimmy has been canceled. He's not been. You've got hundreds of people, about 200 people who work on Jimmy Kimmel Live. And Jimmy cares about his staff. He doesn't want them to let them go. So, and of course, he wants to, you know, go out on his own terms. So that's why I think there's still a path to come back. I hope there is. I think that's what they're talking about right now.
What is that path, though? Because if he comes back, now you've got Brendan Carr and the FCC willing to carry out Donald Trump's vision. Yeah. And I don't, you know, the thing that he said was the least offensive thing Jimmy said in 2 months.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the good news is people are, they're commenting on that. They're protesting. They're canceling their subscriptions to Disney Plus and Hulu.
This
is very much now. I mean, this is the great thing is people are pushing back. And so I think, you know, that narrative too of Jimmy didn't say anything. This is now a First Amendment issue. This has become a lot more even than just Jimmy Kimmel. This is about the FCC overstepping its bounds. And when you have Ted Cruz out there actually agreeing, and for like first time in I think my entire life, I agree with Ted Cruz, who is also saying Brendan Carr sounds like a mafioso boss and this is too far. I think that may be part of the return is, okay, if even people on the right are saying, you got to rein it in, this has become, you've gone too far. That's going to help Jimmy come back. I think all the protests are going to help Jimmy come back. I think there are ways to continue Jimmy Kimmel Live, even if Sinclair and Nexstar don't want to air the show anymore. That's fine. We'll clear it on other stations in Nashville or wherever else they are. Most people already watch the clips on YouTube. They already watch it on Hulu. So if it's not on the ABC stations in those markets, we'll live. And I think for Jimmy, you know, you look at the comment that he made on Twitter the day of Charlie Kirk's murder, which was very calming. You know, he very much, you know, put his support behind Charlie Kirk's family. I mean, it was a great statement. So if Jimmy just comes out and says, this is what I said the day of of Charlie Kirk's murder, this is what I said, and people have since then misconstrued what I've said, I just want to stand by my original statement.
Right.
And let's move on.
Right.
And just not belabor it, not talk about it. Let's just, this is what I said. This is, you know, you have to agree like this. This was, you know, this was my statement at the time. Maybe on that same episode, he brings out his buddy, Adam Carolla, who, you know, is very much on the opposite side of the politics. But nonetheless, they're still buddies. And they just have an honest conversation of, hey, listen, if we can make this work, if we can still be friends, even though we don't agree on politics, America needs to have, just make it, like, talk about First Amendment, the fact that we need to just have conversations again and frame it that way, then I think there's a path to move on. And then we just move on. And if Sinclair and Nexstar You know, and Frame is like, well, if Sinclair and Nexstar doesn't want to have this on a conversation, then they disagree with, you know, whatever they believe Charlie Kirk was for, because apparently he's been recanonized as suddenly a free speech warrior, yep, as opposed to, you know, this racist hate monger, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, if you can kind of put them in the corner and say, hey, didn't Charlie Kirk talk about free speech? Shouldn't you be showing Kimmel in the, you know, honor of Charlie Kirk as a bastion of free speech? I don't know. Somehow reframe it that way. I think we move on from there.
What are the odds?
I don't know. At this point, yeah, the game is so changed and changes daily at this point that the old, oh, I can see this and that going down, especially with whatever the next distraction is from we know what, you know, the files. I mean, it's going to be another push way over here where these kind of things kind of fall off the map sometimes, you know, and don't get dealt with.
I would love to see Kimmel and Colbert do a show together. I hope that is in the works before Colbert is off.
No, and I think, you know, that's the other thing, is because Colbert is going off the air in May, I don't think Jimmy wants to go off at the same time either. You know, Jimmy for a long time has said he's ready to go. He's, you know, he's been doing this for two decades, and you don't blame him. I mean, this is a tough job, and what he's gone through over especially the past 10 years, you know, and still maintain his humor and his humanity, you know, but it's rough. I'm sure it's been rough on him.
Oh, it's
rough
gotta be insane, yeah.
Yeah, and so I know at some point he's ready to go, but I don't think he wants to, again, go on these terms. And he also doesn't want to go at the same time as Stephen, because, you know, Stephen needs his moment. And so I think Jimmy should stick around longer, maybe another year after that, enough to get past the midterms. But also, you know, we can't lose both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm hoping, I think, you know, Kevin, answer your question. They've got to make a decision within the next week. They can't let this linger. And,
right,
you know,
well, I think with all the cancellations and all the monetary hit they're taking, they're going to make a decision fairly quickly, I would assume. But again, you know, who can predict?
I do love that people are coming together and saying, all right, I'm going to renew Hulu, and Disney Plus is gone. And by the way, Nexstar owns Channel 5 in Los Angeles, so I've cut them out of everything. I'm not going to watch anything from them.
That's the only way that there's leverage, you know.
It seems that's the case.
For the only leverage,
the man. That's it.
Well, and selling the stocks was one when I first saw that start bubbling up, and it's just like, oh, you dump your stocks. That's gonna really dig in a lot more. Of course, I don't have a portfolio myself. So.
And the other thing is, there's like, I think we may have some Disney stock, but I think we're still underwater. So if we sold it now, we would lose a couple hundred dollars. I'm like, well, in some ways, am I showing them, or am I just like,
come on, man, make the sacrifice?
Am I owning myself there? Poning myself, as the kids would say on the internet. Yeah.
Well, 20 years ago, yes.
Yes. Are you getting any flack from the people above you at Variety?
I was wondering about that.
Because you wrote a great article about this when it first happened on Wednesday, and I was reading it again last night. It's really well done and well thought out, and also powerfully said, and I wonder if you got any feedback from that.
Thanks for saying that. And no, you know, thankfully they give us pretty free rein, and
That's great.
I've been, you know, a little more aggressive with my columns this year. You know, in my role now as sort of the executive editor of TV, I think kind of step back and not do as much reporting and sort of share more of my opinions than I ever used to, in I think my grizzled old age. And maybe I've just gotten to the don't give a fuck point. But I felt like some of these things needed to be said and also needed to be contextualized. So far, no pushback from the powers that be. I mean, some pushback from readers, some pushback from other folks. But
the second you open your mouth, you become a target. That's just the way it's happening right now.
100%.
So, yeah.
Like, all right.
Yeah, so we do have, I mean, you have to be careful now. And look, that's the scary thing is they're saying the quiet part out loud now with this administration. The fact that Trump is going out and saying that, you know, he'll attack any enemies of his, you know, his speech, quote unquote, or you know, he'll use the FCC to attack anyone who criticizes his administration.
I can't see how anybody would be okay with that, because if that becomes the standard, if that becomes the norm, if you're okay with it, don't you know that the next opposite administration, the next party when they're in, will do the same thing? And you don't want that.
Well, that's what Ted Cruz was saying, crazy enough. He was saying, look, you may be happy that Jimmy's being taken off the air, but when there's a a Democrat in office, that means that everything we like as conservatives is going to be gone.
That's what
he's the only person I've seen point that out.
Right. And it just seems so obvious. It's just like, you know, this is not how it works, because it won't work. You have to let everybody have their say, you know, whether you like it or not.
I just don't think they're thinking long term like that. I think they're seeing like they're no.
Well,
the
power
grab
is
now.
Well, I think they assume it's never going to change. He's going to be there forever, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah. There's
I'm sure
a little
that's
bit
the
of
plan.
Again, that's Project 2025 is, you know, as they just
the
keep pushing
plan.
And pushing and taking as much as they can, so that, you know, the further that we descend into this world of fascism, the harder it is to pull back out of it.
Right.
And, you know, another couple years of this and there is no turning around. There is no coming back from this. So,
well, there is. I mean, you know, but it's not a good road to go down, because
you're right.
Things take a beating before they come back around.
Corny, what are your thoughts on Jimmy Kimmel?
Well, since you asked, I'll just say it straight. Jimmy Kimmel's pretty much getting tangled in a whole First Amendment mess that's bigger than him at this point. And yeah, it's a circus, but I'm not exactly surprised. Let's just say if they actually wanted to cancel every late-night comedian who ticked off a politician, well, they'd be pretty busy.
Can Jimmy sue? I'm asking you, Michael. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you were asking Courtney. I was like, yeah, I want to hear what... Courtney, can Jimmy sue? I mean, it depends on what happens. You know, if they want to keep him off the air but pay him out, Disney can do that. I don't think there's much legal ramifications for Jimmy if they just bench him but continue to pay his staff. I think, you know, the question is, what would he do next in terms of, you know, just as we're kind of curious what Stephen Colbert is going to do next. You know, are there other outlets out there that he would want to pursue?
I read that Colbert was, you know, courted by Netflix. Is that true?
There's no actual word of that. I think everyone's expecting that to happen. But, you know, those kind of shows haven't worked well on streaming. There hasn't been a successful late night show or talk show. You know, Netflix tried a great one with John Mulaney. That was a little maybe too hip for the room, which is why it didn't do great.
Yeah, I think these are the best two that do it. Though, like, if you could have Kimmel and then Colbert on every night on Netflix, don't you think that would be a huge win for them?
I think it could. And I think, you know, they haven't tried something like that yet. But again, they've tried other hosts like Chelsea Handler and Joel McHale and folks, Hasan Minhaj. I mean, they've tried folks that they haven't really been able to pan it out. So maybe this would be different.
That's like the Lakers playing a high school player and trying him out. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the best of the best, and the fact that it failed doesn't mean the best of the best would fail. I just wonder if they're going to go that direction.
I think they possibly could. They possibly could try, and hopefully, like, that would work. And they've gotten better at especially doing these kind of events at Netflix. A couple of years ago when they were trying Hasan Minhaj and some of the other hosts, they weren't really in that live business. They weren't in that specials business. Now they are full on. So they know now how to market those shows. They know how to produce and put those shows on the air. So maybe it would be much more advantageous for them to do something
like
that.
Would they do the old school thing and send me a DVD of the show each day like they used to in the mail?
It's 2007 all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
So, hopefully there's still like a lot of options for these folks. But, you know, also hopefully, you know, we want to keep Jimmy on ABC. We want to keep, like, this is the most the widest opportunity to make sure that his voice is still out there. It's still, you know, broadcast for all of its foibles now. People aren't watching linear TV like they used to, but it's still a pretty good place to, you know, get the word out. And people still pay attention to broadcast in ways that they still don't on other platforms. It's sort of a legacy. These late night shows still get, you know, a lot of attention and drive the conversation in a lot of cases.
Well, I mean, being live on the day that things have happened, just there's not really a way to beat that. And it's, you know, so literally broadcast to everybody. Just, I mean, that is a hard thing to beat.
And these big budgets, you know, you can have a staff of 200 people.
Right.
So, you know, I've seen a lot of people say, well, you know, Stephen Colbert now can maybe, you know, go do a podcast the way Conan does.
Podcasts suck. We all know podcasts blow. It's the fucking point.
But, you know, I would think personally it's hard to get past, though. How would you put that aside if you're Jimmy not or wanting to continue working with ABC?
You know, it depends on, you know, if you know, he still has the promise of he can still say whatever he wants to say.
He doesn't strike me as vindictive or hang on to grudges. He's pretty, you know, all right, this was business. It was a bad decision. It was, you know, whatever. But I understand in the moment. I mean, I think plenty of people would be. I totally get that. Like, once you piss me off that way, you're done. But,
I feel like he would come back as a conquering hero.
Yes.
I beat the president at this.
Yeah, and you know, he's such an important part of Disney. I mean, he hosts Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He's the face of the company at the annual, you know, upfronts. You know, he's such an important part of that, and he's got, you know, such strong relationships with all the people who are there, including Bob Iger, including Dana Walden, including the people who made this decision, which wasn't a great decision. And I think you know, clearly, Iger and Walden probably know that, and I think this is what they're trying to come back from now, and they're trying to work with Jimmy and vice versa. So hopefully there will be some sort of way that they all feel comfortable with this return.
Right. Yeah. I did see that there was a rumor that Disney just wanted him to tone it down a bit. Did you hear that?
Yeah, yeah, and I think there was those kind of conversations in terms of, you know, is there a way to, you know, criticize Trump, but maybe, you know, in you know, there are certain like stabs that maybe you don't need. I don't know. There's ongoing network notes, right? I mean, yeah, you guys, you know. Know it well from all of your years in morning radio. You get those notes and then you push back, and it's you know, it's the hated network executives who are always going to try to err on the side of caution, and the lawyers and everything else, and Jimmy's job is to push back and say, nope, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
And the network suit's job is to say, well, can't you just blah blah blah. It's a game. It's a game that these folks always play, and you know how it is. So,
you know, the one thing that I did learn playing that game for 30 years is that the FCC's community standards line is really an impossible thing to define. There's no way, if it went to court, there's no way they could say, here's the community line. Too many people below it are offended. Too few people above it are okay with it. You can't find that line. And I spent 30 years arguing with lawyers saying, tell me what the community guidelines are, because they're different for every single person, let alone every single family, and then every single city, and then every single state. It's not a possible thing to prove. But the whole thing was, when it gets to discovery, if we took this to court, like, for example, Infinity back in the day when they had Howard, if they took it to court, then they've got discovery, and you've got lawyers digging around in your other personal stuff, that and everything you do is not defendable, and they can find other things. So companies just pay them, and it's just a ransom that they can. But if it went to court, there's no possible way the FCC could actually win that lawsuit. They would lose it horribly.
Yeah, yeah. No, and you look at the history of, you know, how many times has the FCC actually been able to pull licenses? It's been a handful of times, and it was usually for something that was a specific...
Egregious and egregious. Insane. Yes. Oh, clearly over the line, yes. And that's fair enough, I think.
And it wasn't really, it was never over content. In the case of, you know, there have been a couple of companies that lost their licenses because of nefarious business practices.
Right.
And it was something that was completely illegal from a monetary or business standpoint that forced the FCC to finally pull the licenses. It famously happened with, there was a company called RKO General that owned, you know, a TV station here in LA, KHJ. And a couple of stations in New York. And, you know, that was the biggest deal in the world that actually in the 80s, they pulled the license of this company. And, but that's happened so rarely. And it's after decades of lawsuits and legal proceedings. It took, I think that suit, that RKO General suit started probably in like the 60s and it lasted until the 80s. And so...
Wow.
These things, they grind for a long time.
And
so,
it's never just because someone was upset by being made fun of. You just made fun of me. Well, let's call Jimmy at home now and see what he has to say. Kevin, you have his number. So
yeah, we,
call
we,
right
we,
now.
We need to. We need to.
We have a special guest right now.
Well, I mean, I think we've kind of covered this subject, and I think maybe we need to have you back again soon, Michael, to go into normal television talk, because there's so much going on the channels we will continue to watch for the time being. Do you guys feel like you want to make this the Jimmy Kimmel? I was going to dedicate this episode to Jimmy, by the way.
Yeah.
As always, in my dealings with him since the 80s, been unbelievably kind and very cool and just a great, great, nice guy, genuinely nice person. So I wanted to dedicate the episode to him anyway. So
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
I have texted back and forth with him, and nothing that I can share with you except that it's been really difficult on him. He seems
sure.
like he seems like he's got the thickest skin of anybody on earth, but and he has to.
Right.
But also, he's a human being that's caught up in this and was surprised and sort of it had he had spent his kind of his life taking on this bully, and all of a sudden that was taken away from him, and that's a really hard thing to deal with personally. It just feels like the rug's pulled out from underneath you, and everything you've been working for is gone in an instant before you even see it coming.
And it's just to pacify that same bully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, it's This government, it's we've seen this coming for a while. They, you know, they want their pound of flesh. First it was, you know, millions of dollars from CBS and ABC, and then it was to, you know, silence Stephen Colbert. I mean, it's like the textbook. I mean, it's coming, and the hope is that when it does come, people will rise up and support free speech. And at least hopefully we're seeing that. We're, you know, there are rallies. I think there's another one as we record this going on today outside of the El Capitan Theater next to Jimmy Kimmel's Lives Theater. And that's what it's going to take, I think, to push back against these bullies. So
is there anything that we haven't mentioned, Michael, that you think is important?
Do I get one American dollar? Like what's when do
yeah,
I get that?
Yeah, I'll mail it. It's in the mail, man. It's definitely coming your way. Don't you worry about it.
But yeah, I think, you know, that kind of and how about them Emmys, right? Whoa, what right, how about that? How about that pit? How about that
how
studio?
About that?
Wow.
All right, that's our Emmy wrap up.
There you go. Nicely done. Go watch The Pit if you haven't already. Great show.
The Pit is great. Michael, we'll have you back soon to talk
yes.
fall TV.
Yeah.
You'll
yeah.
be there. Fall TV guide preview, the big, thick TV guide preview.
Exactly. And hopefully we'll be talking about the return of Jimmy Kimmel next time.
Yes. Exactly.
Corny, do you want to wrap things up for us today and hit some of the highlights that we talked about?
Sure. I'll do a quick one. Basically, we went on a deep dive into the whole Jimmy Kimmel free speech saga, how the FCC and certain networks are kind of twisting arms, and how that's turning into a bigger First Amendment conversation. We also tossed around the idea of what Kimmel and maybe Colbert could do next, and how this whole thing might play out. So that's the gist. No sugarcoating, just the facts. And yeah, let's hope next time we're talking about his big comeback.
That was actually pretty good. Corny.
All right.
That was not bad. Yeah.
Considering last episode, he didn't talk to us at all.
I think he went into hibernation, and now he's come out a new bot. I don't know.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it was weird.
Michael, you're the
pretty good.
You're the best. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Before we go, real quick, can I, Corny, who am I?
Well, I suppose you're Michael, but let's just say I'm not handing out any awards for that guess. Anyway, you're welcome, and I'm just here to do the job.
No, he has no idea. He has no idea who I am. That's fine.
Oh, you mean who you are, your job and stuff like that?
Yeah, just my whole name, my job.
The fact that he identified you as Michael is a step
forward. Okay.
Yes, that's a
step forward. It's hard to believe that he's that far behind. But
yes.
Corny, what is Michael's last name?
Well, no tricks here. I know you're Michael Schneider, and I'm not that far behind.
Just where does he work?
Yeah, Corny, where does he work? What does Michael Schneider do?
Well, Michael Schneider, as you know, is at Variety, and he's the executive editor for TV there. So yeah, I'm not lost on that one.
That's
he's
impressive.
On fire.
Yeah. Corny is on fire. Yeah, you guys need to tape another podcast immediately after this. Get him while he's hot.
Don't know what you're going to get next time, I know.
Yeah, very true.
Get him while he's hot.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Michael.
Three-fourths human with Kevin Marcy and Sluggo and AI.